I'm going to do something a little bit different. You never want to give me the mic.
Are you going to sing?
We're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance, and then Ralph Brown will give us an opening prayer.
Yes.
So if you'll all rise and say the pledge with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful this day to be gathered here as a CIB board. We're so grateful for the mineral lease monies that we have to disperse and bless the lives of our little communities in rural Utah. So thankful for the board and all they do to facilitate and the staff that makes things possible. Such a great blessing in all of our lives. We also ask a blessing and appreciation of all of our mayors and city folks and county folks that work so hard in serving the people and making rural Utah a great place to live. We pray for understanding and for solutions to problems, for health and peace and the ability to work for the best of the counties and the towns. Again, we're thankful for all that Thou blesses us with and pray for a blessing to those who have struggles and concerns and needs, that the items will be met and their lives will be blessed. Again, thankful for Thy influence and for Thy guidance and Thy example, and thankful again that we could be here today together. And we ask for these favors and blessings and do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Thank you, Ralph. Before we get our introductions, I'm going to say a few things just because I can. October is always Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I take great pleasure in preparing pink ribbons. If anybody hadn't got one, I've got a whole bunch up here. But I appreciate you joining with me to recognize Breast Cancer Awareness. My wife is a survivor of breast cancer 10 years now, and I'm grateful for her and all the women that have to go through that terrible disease. And so I appreciate just taking a minute and remembering those wonderful people. We do live in a great place in the state of Utah, and I live in probably the greatest place of all, Monticello, because I can see everybody else from Monticello. In August of this year, we had our junior livestock sale.
Yeah.
A young lady showed up to the sale to show her lamb, and it had been placed, and she was ready to sell her lamb. She walked into the arena, handed the auctioneer a note. He read the note, and it said that a young man who was engaged to be married was swimming in Lake Powell with his girlfriend. He dived off the shore and hit his head on the sandbar, fractured two vertebrae, and he was in serious condition in the hospital. She asked if she could sell her lamb and that the proceeds of that lamb would go to help him with his medical expenses. This story was in the Desert News last week. I don't know if any of you had a chance to read it, but they bid that lamb up. Most lambs sell for about $6 a pound, maybe up. The really high ones sell for $10 a pound, you know, and so a lamb might bring $1,000. The auctioneer started the bidding, and it went up and up and up. Finally, they sold the lamb for $54 a pound. The fellow that bought the lamb said, "Sell it again." So they started over, and the lamb went up and up and up, sold it for $44 a pound. The buyer said, "Sell it again." So they bid the lamb up, it went up to $35 a pound. lamb sold for over $100 a pound, raised over $19,000 for that young couple. He's still in recovery, but they did go ahead and get married and are trying to move on with their life. But I thought, this little gal was a senior in high school and was thoughtful enough to think of somebody else besides herself. She'd been showing lamb since she was since she was 5 years old and putting the money away for her college. But she walked in and did this all on her own. She did tell her dad. She didn't tell her mom. And she walked into the arena and her dad nudged her mom and said, "Watch this. You're going to be pretty proud of her." Sold that lamb for $19,000 and donated it to that family. So we do have good people in the state of Utah. In fact, I even think Kirk Slaw's a pretty dang good guy. Anyway, we'll start with our introductions this morning. We'll start with Commissioner Lytle over here.
Hi, I'm Jack Lytle. I'm Commissioner in Daggett County representing the Uinta Basin Association of Governments.
Scott Bartholomew, Commissioner of San Pete County, representing our 6th Council, formerly 6th County.
Good morning, everyone. Laura Hansen, representing the Governor's Office of Planning and Budget.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Commissioner Jerry Taylor from Garfield County, and I represent Fife County AOG.
Hi, my name is the Grinch.
Oh, you spell that, please.
I'm the Grinch on the board, but my name's Kurt Slaw, and I represent State Treasurer.
Good morning. Chris Piper with the Utah Attorney General's Office. I'm legal counsel to the board.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Thursday. Bruce, thank you for bringing love to our Heavenly Father and the country to the meeting. Appreciate it very much. My name is Nagi Zanati. I bring you sunshine from sunny St. George and warm greetings from town of Gunlock and Northwestern Special District for giving the opportunity to have that truck, emergency truck. I have so many calls calling in and thanking for the board members. One of them brought me a bag of apples, and of course, I was supposed to bring it over here. I thought to myself, all my board members going nonstop to heaven so they can get their own apples, so I ate them all. Thank you.
Commissioner F. Brown, Sevier County.
Mayor Dean Baker, representing Uinta County. Welcome.
I'm Bruce Adams, representing Southeastern Utah AOG. I'm a county commissioner. I live in Monticello, and I don't have many meetings left on this board. I'll be retiring at the end of December with 20 years on the commission, and I don't know how many years on this board, Candace, probably 3 or 4 anyway, huh?
14, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So I think Greg Miles is online. Is that right? Greg, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Greg Miles, Duchesne County Commissioner.
Okay. Board members? Staffers?
Did Curtis get online?
He's coming. He's coming.
Oh, somebody said he might get online at Spanish Fork or something. So.
Oh.
Heather Polson, CIB staff.
Candace Powers, CIB staff, fund manager.
Fund manager, F-U-N,
fund
manager, fund manager.
Yes. The applicants know it.
And I believe it.
There we go. Paul Moberly, CIB staff.
Ladies, introduce yourself. I know, I do things different, don't I? Have others?
Bill.
Bill?
I'm Bill Prater. I'm going to counsel.
And we want to welcome the injured back, Haley. We're glad you're recovering. She broke her back. Is that right?
Yep.
So we're glad to have her back. Okay. She didn't want me to say that, did you? Okay. Let's see. Candace, will you give us a financial review or an update on... Do we need to do the update on meeting dates first?
The update on the meetings, probably we need to do. You need to decide. It was suggested that the review meeting for all applications submitted, and you have the applications in your folder, be in one meeting so that you can see them all in total. The first Thursday of the month are the choices. It can be November, December, or January. The funding meeting will always be that fourth meeting in a trimester, so it's February 6th. But it's up to the board to determine the next one meeting, one review meeting, and you can decide when. It has been suggested that it be November. But what are the schedules? And it's up to the board to determine what they want.
When is USAC? It's the 14th, I think. Okay. So that there would be 19 projects?
The ones at the bottom of your list are the ones that will be reviewed by the Community Development Office. They're the small planning grants.
Okay, so those five.
So there's 14.
Okay, so there's 14.
Yep.
Do you want to do them all in one meeting, Kurt?
Sure.
Why not? Oh,
I'm
man.
Here for it.
Why not?
Mr. Chair, I kind of like doing it all in one meeting. It makes for a long meeting, but I like being able to see the whole list. And sometimes, you know, I maybe feel like I'm harder on a particular project, you know, than maybe I would be had I known how much money we have to spend and what the full list looks like. So I kind of like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Scott.
Candace, you aren't going to be here next month, are you?
I will be here for the meeting itself.
But not in preparation for it.
Just I'm away for a while, but we'll we'll try and get it ready if that's what the board
Scott,
wants.
Scott, we have Heather.
We can do
that. Yeah, Heather. You have Heather.
We can do December. Skip the November to December.
Go to December.
What's the day in December?
Okay.
We want to be able to look at how much money we have, too, right?
Yeah, that's the advantage of pushing it later.
Yeah, December, January.
January?
No.
Do you want to...
Let's give Ruth one more meeting.
We need to have one more before 2024 is over.
Yeah, don't kick me out.
Huh? Yeah.
December.
Thursday, the 5th of December?
Oh. Will you be at the meeting in December?
I will.
December?
If you have one in December, I won't in January.
Let's do it December.
December will be his last supper.
Some of the staff's saying there's... Would you elaborate why November's better than December?
I will. I come by here on my way to Las Vegas to the rodeo.
Oh, speaking of which...
That's the rodeo.
December will be hard for me to make. I'll probably be online for that one because I'll be down there.
I'll be at a board meeting, a different board meeting in California, I believe.
Okay, what do you want to do?
What if we have it the Tuesday after Thanksgiving? What's that date?
No, don't change the date, please.
That'll make...
So you want to do November?
Well, regardless, we would have it. If we were doing everything the same, we'd have that December one. I think the board's used to at least myself and at least another doing that one virtually because
let's,
of
other. Let's have it December the 5th.
It's
the 6th. Is that all right with everybody?
6th?
The 6th would be Friday. Oh, December the 5th.
Thursday.
Right? Thursday? A regular time?
I'm good.
I'm good.
Does that work?
Is there a motion?
I make a motion to make it December 5th.
Okay, motion by Nagy. Do we have a second?
Second
by Scott. Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 December 5th.
Any opposed? Greg, did you say aye? Yeah, he did.
I heard it.
Okay. So Greg is online and Kurt is on his way. Are we missing anybody else?
So did you say you could make it in December?
I can.
On the 5th?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. The rodeo doesn't start till the next day for me.
You will receive.
Well, you got to get your priorities straight. So.
I know.
I will send out a calendar invite so that it is on your calendar.
Thank you.
The convention is
okay.
Ends the day of.
Financial review, Candace, please.
The DWS Finance, Brittany or Kaylee will be presenting the financials.
The amount of money that you have today is enough to cover all.
Can you do the microphone, please? Sorry. The amount of money that you have today is enough to cover all the projects if you wish to approve them all. But I do want to remind you, if you, whatever you use today, whatever you don't use today, will be available for the next trimester. We don't really know what's happening in the next trimester. For how much money we will receive. Right now we're on average for what we've been doing for the past year, but loan payments are a little bit higher in September, so that may drop off a little bit next trimester. So we may not have as much money next trimester as we do this trimester.
You're saying we've had a balloon of payments right now?
Yeah, just a little bit.
That are less predictable later?
A little bit double more than the average. So it's usually like $1 million and we got $2 million. So not like a huge significant difference for the projects that are presented to you, but just keep that in mind. You do have enough money, but whatever you fund today is obviously going to take away from what you have in the future because we don't know what the revenues will be. If you want to do the other financial sheet, so this is the one that looks more like an income statement with columns rather than rows. So it's just showing the exact same information. It shows that you have enough available today. If you were to fund everything as Candace has it presented to you in the packet, you would have just shy of $5 million remaining that would carry over into next trimester for projects. There's no forecast on this one this time because the way that this report is set up is to forecast the revenue that we receive for the trimester. So since this is the funding meeting, there's not going to be more available for the funding meeting today, is it? And then if you scroll down just a little bit more.
Say that last statement again.
This is forecasting how much you have for the current trimester. This is the last meeting of the trimester, so there's not going to be any additional revenue coming in for this trimester.
Okay.
Yeah. I put this together for you guys. It's a 10-year revenue forecast. It just shows what we earned in 2024, and if we were to stay consistent, this is what the revenue would be based off loan schedules, mineral lease receipts over the average, and also investment interest. I don't know what the interest rates will be. That's for money that we have sitting in PTIF accounts and the investment interest that we're going to earn there. But this is just a 10-year forecast of what we're going to have for the next couple of years. If you want to look at that, and then scroll down just a little bit more, please. This just shows the past revenue, and I made little lines on there for you guys to see the how it goes up and down, up and down. And then at the bottom, it says total CIB revenue that we've earned, and then the total CIB projects that you've put out, you funded. So you can see that some years we have a lot of revenue, some years we don't. And you usually, like last year, the 2023 year, excuse me, 2023 fiscal year, you guys spent a lot more than you actually had in revenue come in, so you were spending all of your reserves that you had built up. So this just shows the last 10 years historical revenue that you've received. But you do have money today if you so choose to fund all the projects.
Can we have those in our computers? Can you send it to us?
It's in the packet.
Is it already?
Yes. I think under financial reports.
Yes, it is under financial.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, last night Ms. Beck put it together and it sent to us at 9:15.
Oh, okay. I haven't updated my system yet. No wonder.
And it was put in this morning at 5:30 a.m.
Thank you both for all of your hard work for the getting it ready for the meeting.
Any questions? Are we good?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. We're ready to move along with the projects. Candace?
Approval of minutes.
Yes.
Approval of minutes. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved. Mr. Chairman. Sorry.
Second.
Okay, Nagy makes the motion. Jerry seconds. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, that's the minutes. All right. We need to approve the projects that have been advanced. We'll take them in blocks of three or one. Kurt, what do you want to do?
Let's take them all.
The whole thing in one deal and then go home?
Yeah.
Are there any, being sensitive to folks that have brought that up in the past, is there any issues with any of the projects that you want them pulled out? Or not.
Let's go through three at a time.
Three at a time?
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like we should just do it the same way each time. I don't care how we do it, but it's hard to change it.
Yeah. Okay, after today, you can do what you want. Monroe City. The board advanced a $350,000 grant to do this project. Town of Redmond, the board advanced $1,085,000 grant, zero loan. Number three was Town of Glenwood, the board advanced $222,549,000 grant, $127,000 loan. 10 years at 1%. Do I have a motion on those three?
I'll make a motion.
By Jerry.
I'll second it.
Second by Ralph. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any?
Oh, a roll call. All right. Go ahead. Do you do that or Heather?
I do.
Okay.
Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Commissioner Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles? I'll move on. I'll come back. Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
Commissioner Miles?
He's in the canyon.
Maybe. Do we still have a quorum?
You do. You have a quorum. That motion passes with Greg Miles absent and the chairman, well, not here.
Okay, next three. Richfield City, new pool facility. The board advanced $3,683,000 grant, $5,525,000 loan, 30 years at 2%. Number five, Town of Wales, the board advanced a $600,000 grant, zero in loan. That's for a culinary water line. Number six is Town of Dutch John, board advanced $1,103,000 grant, $960,000 loan, 5 years at 0%. Okay, do we have a motion on those three?
I make a motion, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, second. Motion by Nagy.
Second.
Second by Scott. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Roll call.
Roll call.
I think we can do it.
If you want to do it in bulk, if there's no...
I thought we just had to roll call one time.
Okay.
We'll do it. Kurt wants to do a roll call. Let's do a roll call.
I'm okay.
Okay.
Very good. Number seven.
Well, let's finish up that we didn't say all in favor yet.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thanks, Nagy.
Thank you.
Number 7, Beaver City Sewer Infrastructure. Board advance $4,180,000 grant, $2,787,000 loan, 30 years at 2%. Number 8, Northwest Service Special Service District. Quick Response Ambulance. The board advanced $220,671 grant, zero loan. Number 9, Town of Randolph, Road Improvements. The board advanced $165,200 grant, no loan. Is that three of them?
Yes.
Do you have a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Jack. Approve.
Second.
Second by Jerry. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Number 10, Town of Deweyville, parking lot for Town Hall Park. The board advanced $348,000 grant, zero loan. Number 11, Wayne County Emergency Service Building. The board advanced $2,489,000 grant, zero loan.
Motion to approve, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, motion by Nagy, second by Jerry.
No, Ralph.
Ralph.
Oh, Ralph. I'm
sounds
sorry.
Like Jerry.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
They can both see one.
Unanimous. Okay, supplemental requests. Enoch City Police Department expansion. Board advanced. Did we?
No, you need to bring them to the table.
We need to bring that one.
All three of them.
And the other two?
Yes.
There's five.
There's five?
There's five, you'll have to hear.
Yeah.
We have a special conservation too.
So we should have approved them all in bulk. Kurt, should be done. Okay. Enoch City Police Department expansion, if you'll come forward. Marcus, you again? Okay. If you'll introduce yourselves and present your project.
Thank you. My name is Rob Dotson. I'm the city manager of Enoch City.
Good morning. I'm Jackson Ames, the chief of police for Enoch City.
Marcus Keller with Cruzness Associates, municipal advisor to the city.
We appreciate the opportunity to come before you today and request some supplemental funding. We've been before you before. It's good to see you again. We request additional funding. The building that we had designed in the first place, as we worked through architects, we discovered that security reasons and other type of facilities we needed expanded the scope of the project. And then we recently received bids. In fact, the bids came back last Thursday. We opened those bids and shock and awe. I don't know if that's the right words for it, but I'm sure you understand that shock
Walmart,
and awe happened.
Walmart made some money.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's why we're coming for you before you today. You want to add anything, Chief?
Questions of the board?
I have some questions.
Okay.
So who did your original, who provided the original engineering estimate?
The original engineering estimate was a high-level engineering estimate by a builder, a local builder, who builds these, not exactly this type of building, but hotels, motels, and other such. And he gave us the original estimate. Then we went to architecture, and that changed a lot of things. We were trying to bootstrap it on our own, like we did with our animal shelter, which was really a fun project. And we got pretty much beat up by contractors who wanted to know exactly what paint color that we wanted, etc. And so we went back to architecture, and that changed a whole bunch of things.
Okay.
Question.
Yeah, Jack.
In your review sheet, how much did architecture by itself raise your price?
I'm sorry, what was that again?
How much did architecture raise your price or your need? in terms of, is that considered part of your engineering cost? In terms of the percent of the total project and the development of the bid? What did you pay the architect?
We paid the architect upwards of $100,000.
Thank you.
Question?
Yes, Noggy.
Just curiosity, Chief. Is it cheaper to get another security guard for the security purpose rather than changing the whole scope?
Yeah, that would be a lot cheaper, actually. But we do need the space. Yeah, we're operating in about 850 square feet right now.
So did you have a contingency built in when you had the first estimate, like 10%, 15%? Is this beyond that contingency?
Yeah, this is beyond that.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Question?
Yes.
When you originally came to us, this was a year ago, correct? And did we say we were shovel ready then? I have a question about what shovel ready is compared to coming back a year later. We've had several projects that do this, and I'm starting to be a little bit concerned about shovel ready.
We made assumptions that we were shovel ready because we had some contractors ready to go at the time. But after looking at the needs we had and, of course, additional security needs that the chief needed in his building, we actually went back with another plan to build more space in make a basement specifically and have it as a separate building. And then after that, we decided the architecture had to come into play. We couldn't do it without an architecture, and we hadn't had that done before.
Jerry, I think shovel-ready, sometimes we think that we give them the money, they hand them a check, and they go out and start building, but sometimes they have to do design, and they have to do soil testing, and they have to do all of these things where they don't have the money to do that until they get some money from the CIB. So correct. They're probably as shovel-ready as they can be, but shovel-ready might not mean we're going to start construction in a month or 2 months or whatever. They've got to go through all those other hoops. That's my guess. I don't know.
And just to note, too, the city also increased their contribution share as well. I'm not sure if that's been listed. Originally, it was $300,000. Now they're bringing $555,000, so a total of about an additional $255,000 to the project with the additional $760,000 requested increased loan. So that was, understandably, they knew that they had to bring more skin to the game as well because of the additional requests.
One more question?
Okay. Yes.
Well, actually a couple more questions. So my first is for staff. It feels like we were relying on estimates that were maybe not solidified, so I don't know if we have a process for perhaps refining what we will allow for engineering estimates, because it seems like they provided us some estimates that weren't from a reliable source, and we relied on that to bring it or to put it on the table. So I don't know if there's a way that we can refine our requirements so that we're getting projects that have a reliable engineering estimate. Let me put it that way.
Usually they come back for supplemental funding because when you bring a project here, you haven't spent any money. You don't want to spend money until you actually know you have funding to do the project. So they're not bid out until they come to until after they get the approved authorization for funding. They come in with best estimates, and that's so that they can come in without having any cash outlay that they don't have. Before we close the loan and before we issue the funding, they have to have bids, and that's when they know to come in for supplemental. So they do their best with an estimate. They find their best estimate, but the board has chosen historically not to have them incur costs when they don't know if they're going to get funded.
Okay. Yeah, no, I understand that the engineering estimate doesn't include the bids. I'm just wondering what we are relying on as a credible engineering estimate. It sounds like in this case we're relying on a contractor that perhaps didn't really understand the scope. And so what I worry is, you know, they come to the CIB to get their foot in the door with a kind of a smaller project, and then they come back later knowing that once we've already funded a portion, it's hard for us to say no to the second portion. So it just seems a little difficult for the board to get a handle on the true scope of these projects if we're kind of allowing partial and then coming back for the second. So
there's always an estimate, and there's always an estimate in the review of these that will be in the board.
And I'm saying maybe we need to be relying on an engineering firm rather than a contractor going forward.
Yeah. The board has historically accepted napkins, a drawing on a napkin.
It'd be a good discussion, I think.
Well, maybe we shouldn't be
right.
Accepting of that. So.
If I might, point of order, please have them clarify the scope for us, too. Staff would like to know what the scope of work.
Okay. So can you do that? Did the scope increase from the last time you were here, or is it purely the estimates?
So I think a little bit the scope. We did add a little bit of square footage and a sally port. And originally we were on the fence as to whether we wanted to do a basement or not. And so we did get bids for both a basement and not a basement. So we did look at a few things like that.
Bruce, can I get in line for comment?
Yes.
Dave, I think I'm behind.
No, I'll take you first and then Margie.
Go ahead. So with that in mind, do we have, and I apologize if it's there and I haven't seen it, is that quantified in terms of a little bit of square footage you've added, or it? Have you quantified that? And I'm going to give you a string of questions before you answer. The other part is, as I look at the summary, there's no dollars assigned to pre-construction engineering, special engineering, or we don't know. It's just the total amount. So it's not been broken out, at least on the sheet I'm looking at. Maybe that's a result of how it got funded the first time, where there may not have been costs for that, but apparently... obviously, with the architecture, there was some, and how that percents out. So it's not giving us much of an idea of what's being spent. And then the last one is, how many bids did you get in terms of you put it out for bids? How many did you receive, and did you choose the low bid, or is it a different bid, or...
So
is there justifications?
Those are all good questions. We appreciate that. So the scope of work changed, and when we went out for bid. We bid, like Chief said, with a basement, without a basement. They came back with the basement, $600,000 more than without. This $2.7 million is pretty much the low bid with a contingency in it.
What
and
is
that would
the
be without a basement, and the contingency is 15%.
Okay. And what are your engineering costs?
The engineering costs it's already been paid. We already took care of that with the building architecture. We hired an engineer, electrical engineers, all the engineers together to put that together.
On the first funding?
On the first funding?
You did that with that money, or did that? Is that your skin in the game? Is that accumulated in your skin in the game?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just trying to understand. I'm not critical overtly.
That's okay. That's good.
But to answer your other question, they did receive three bids or from three different bidders. Each bidder put in with basement, without basement bids, so six in total, but three separate bidders, and they're going with the lowest cost without the basement, and that's where we're getting that $2.7 roughly million, and that's inclusive of all the work that would be included to finish the project. And that was sent over to CIB staff, I believe, with that information broken out.
So I need a clarification on what you just said, if you would, please. You just said that you're without the basement.
Correct.
I thought this is going to include the basement now.
No, the additional basement would be additionally another $600,000 roughly. So they went with the cheapest bid with no basement, but including the additional work that the chief had mentioned with the Sally Port, a little bit additional square footage, different things like that. So the numbers you're looking at today are official bids that they've received. So there would be no, you know, estimates change, you know, aside from maybe some change order type stuff. But that's how we're getting to this number today, is based off the actual bids received by the city.
And the Sally Port is, that's, you have holding or detention cells prior to taking them to the jail?
We don't, no, we haven't even built that into the building, no.
So the Sally Port is for what purpose?
It's for vehicles. And
as a garage?
As a secure area for, I mean, we do bring people that we arrest into our building and interview them, interrogate them. But it's not technically an official holding cell by any means.
Oh, okay. But you may have benches with appropriate...
We have rooms. Yeah, for our county and the way that it's set up, we really don't need a detention facility in our building. Our jail is so close, and that's where we're going to take them. It's very temporary. If we bring them there, it's to do standard field sobriety tests, interview, interrogate them for a short period of time, and we don't like having them there for too long. So.
Understood. Thank you.
And when we do have vehicles that are part of some kind of criminal investigation, we've been historically using Cedar City's Sally Port, which is about the size of these tables put together right here, with a little garage is all it is, and that's pretty much all we've had available. This would allow us to actually bring vehicles in and do the investigation in-house in our facility instead of having it in Cedar City.
Sure. Thank you.
Noggy. Thank you. I'm going to defend our dedicated staff first and the second applicant. In this inflationary environment, I promise you, no one can predict any kind of outcome. Consulting, engineering firms, or private contractor. We do this every month through UDOT. 20 projects comes before us every month. We had best engineering estimate. And every time we come to the meetings asking for more money because the project yesterday cost $2 million more today. And you ask me the question why? 45% to 55% inflation built in. And that is a killing at this time. And I don't blame them with a small community. First of all, the challenge for the rural community, small communities, there's not too many contracts they can bid to be competitive. In UDOT, we try throughout the state, even then we come short. Somebody can say, well, I can get a bid project in Wasatch Front, Salt Lake City, Utah County. They don't want to deal with it. So small communities, I don't envy them for their projects, but I tell you that it is that in Utah and UDOT business. Every contractor comes above the estimate every month. Thank you.
Hey, Jerry.
A couple of years ago, I built a new home, and to save money on one portion of the home, I left the basement off. I'm telling you right now, I regret that. So, and I know that's a lot of money, but in your opinion, a couple of years down the road, are you going to regret that? Or
especially with the growth that he needs.
I'm not going to let the chief answer that question. He's the one he'll say. He's pretty.
I want a basement.
He wants a basement. We also have to look at our ability to pay for this.
I understand that.
We do have a parameters resolution for $2.5 million that's been approved, so we can actually get to that point or more. We would love a basement, but we just can't afford the payment. We just can't see affording more than what this is. This in itself is going to stretch us, and we do have a sales tax revenue bond. This is going to stretch us. We are grateful that they're building a Dollar General and an O'Reilly's in Enoch, which is number three and number four businesses in Enoch. So we're pretty grateful, even though the sales tax revenue probably won't cover a basement.
So this is all loan, correct?
Say again.
Is this all loan?
Yes.
Yeah.
The request is all loan.
Yeah.
We requested part grant last time, but we appreciate the gift of 2.5%.
They are the bedroom community for Cedar City. So Cedar City has all the luxury and they're getting all the pain. And if you haven't been there lately, go see the congestions.
Big growth.
Yeah.
And you're getting smaller, large towns. You're getting the things that your law enforcement have to deal with are severe.
Okay, and Dean has a question.
Well, I think it's been answered. Mine was they're asking $760,000 more. You talked some numbers that you had some more money coming in. I was a little confused in that.
No.
So they originally had gotten $1.46 million. So we're asking for an additional loan of $760,000 on top of the $1.46 million, and on the issuer's contribution side, we originally planned $300,000. But now we're planning $555,000. Okay. So that's the additional skin.
Okay,
so 250.
And I wasn't sure of it, so thank you.
Would you accept a motion?
Yeah.
If there's no more.
Absolutely.
I'll make a motion to approve, and it'd be a, what do you call it, fund of,
suspend and fund.
Suspend and fund, but I guess we're funding today
anyway.
So
same terms, Jack?
Same terms. And
30 years at 2.5?
Yes, sir. I'll make the motion to approve it.
Do we have a second? Second by Dean. Further discussion?
I have one more clarifying question. Okay. So the $5 million that we have in excess, that does not include any of the supplemental requests today, correct?
It does.
Does it?
Or
the financials do include.
Okay, when we say we had $5 million after we...
Everything.
Okay, so if we fund all of these, we're still going to have $5 million at the end of the...
Yes,
premise.
It's all included.
I want to see you dance now. Happy days.
Happy days.
Okay. I'm looking at this.
All right, we have a motion and a second. We'll call...
Clarification, it's for $760,000,
yeah.
Correct?
$760,000. On top of what we've already got.
Originally was $500,000.
Thank you.
Okay, you done, Scott?
Yep.
All right. We have a roll call vote.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
Aye.
There you go.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen.
Yes.
Mr. Slaw.
Yes.
That motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much. I failed to recognize Mayor Chestnut, who happens to be here.
That's never happened before.
He's hiding.
He's right here. He came all this way to see you,
yes.
I guess.
No, I appreciate the consideration. I apologize. I'm an attorney. This is not my full-time job, despite what people in the city think. I actually still have to pay the mortgage somewhere. And so I was out on a hearing, and I appreciate the efforts I was able to come in and listen to it. Again, appreciate your consideration and the work you do. Thank you.
We appreciate you coming Enix halfway to Monticello. All right. Next up, we have Heber Valley Special Service District Wastewater Treatment Facility Upgrade Phase 1.
Update.
Update?
Oh, yeah. And this is a scope update for you.
That's all it is.
It's
not
extra funding.
It's not for any more funding?
How you doing?
Zero.
Okay, we want to welcome a good friend here.
Yes.
Thank you, Bruce. I'm Steve Farrell.
Board member.
Steve Farrell. I'm a member of the board for the Heber Valley Special Service District. And this is Jim Goodley, our new general manager. And what we'd like to do is, Jim wants to present to us what our change of scope and our work is.
Ed, good morning. Thank you. We're here to request this change in scope to a project that was originally authorized by the board. About a year ago, we've had a change in some of our priorities, and we'd like to eliminate a couple of the projects that were in the original scope and replace that with a headworks upgrade project. We feel that's better suited to the needs of the district at this time. So we're requesting to remove a couple projects from the original scope and replace it with this new project. and we're maintaining the original funding amount. It was $12,909,000. Was a loan from the board and a contribution of $7.5 million from the district. So the money, it remains the same, but we're changing the scope to better suit the district's needs at this time.
Motion to approve, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, just one second.
Oh, sorry.
Candace, was the original funding 30 years at 2.5?
Yes.
20 years at 2.5.
20 years at 2.5. Okay. Nagy, you have
motion to approve.
Okay, motion to approve, second by Jack. Further discussion?
Just one question. So the scope, the two projects are falling out of scope. Is there any plan to get those done, or did you just determine that they weren't needed at this time? What's the plan for those
right
two?
Right now, one of them is a lavatory, which we can get by about, and the other is a farm storage building. But we think the money would be better spent on the headworks.
Okay, so the plan is to just not complete those,
not
or do you have other money to?
That's right.
Okay.
And that's coming from a farmer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do away with the farm storm.
One more question with that. Would we anticipate seeing them in another phase of the project, or is it?
You don't have
somebody
to ask,
said phase one.
You don't have to ask that. You know the answer is yes. We're coming back.
we don't plan. We have a plan to come back.
That's what I was thinking. I was hearing. I just wanted to know where they were at on it. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. We'll take a vote.
Yeah.
Mr. Slaw.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously.
We'd like to thank you. We appreciate you considering this. We'll see you again.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, town of Kishurum. The town has only one resident, and it's the mayor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but he's a good one.
He is a good one. Yeah.
Thanks, Acting Chairman Adams and the honorable board members. Really good to see all of you. I hated to come today because I don't like asking for any money, especially extra money. You guys were generous to give us a grant to build a community center. We're just about on the finishing third of the project, and it's looking great. It's going to really serve our community well. We, as members, Mr. Zanotti says, the bid that came in, we had three bids or so. The cheapest bid was made everything just really tight, including the contingency funds. And as we went along, we even dropped the asphalt parking lot, so thinking that the town could use their funds to pave that in the end. But there were some change orders and cost overruns. One was due to the fire code. The building inspectors, because we didn't have the sprinklers in the kitchen, had us do some reinforced fire code stuff there. Also, the steel beams from the steel building, we needed to buy pads for those. We purchased the land to start with, and we need to buy chairs and appliances for the kitchen. It made it, and the change order kind of wiped out the money we thought we might have for the asphalt parking lot. So we are here to ask for supplemental funding of around $90,000. And some change for the asphalt parking lot so we can just have a finished project. And this is Kelly Chapel from Ensign Engineering. They've been doing a great job for us. And so, anyway, that's our story.
What do you think, Kurt?
I think we better approve before you upgrade it and get them like a terrace parking lot or something.
I would make that motion.
Okay, motion.
I'll second it.
Taylor's second by Commissioner Brown. Further discussion? Your chance? None? Okay.
Good. I'm good.
Let's have a roll call vote.
I love parking lots, as you know.
Yeah, me too.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
Commissioner Adams?
That's you, Bruce.
The aye.
Aye.
Commissioner Brown?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Aye.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Mayor Baker?
Aye.
Commissioner Lytle?
Aye.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Aye.
Mr. Slaw?
Yes.
That motion passes unanimously.
You know, when small town team wins the state tournament, they meet him at the town line and put the team on the bus and on the fire engine, and everybody's honking and yelling. That's what happens to this mayor when he goes back from the CIB board. Everybody in town greets him. Hail Caesar.
So wife and kids, is that what you're saying? Yeah.
That's the whole town.
He is the mayor of a wonderful community, though. Beautiful place. Out of the way. People need to go there and visit.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And I don't know if it's appropriate, if you guys have a picture of your board. If not, I don't know if you could get one, but we'd like to recognize a picture of you and your names in our center, at least for several years. So if you don't have one, you know, today with your purple ribbon or pink ribbons would be very appropriate.
You didn't get one.
I'll get one. And to Commissioner Adams, I plan on my retirement in December as well. So,
wow.
Not from the tent mayor, though. That's a lifelong calling service project.
Ron, is that picture for your new dartboard?
No. You guys make me heroes.
Mayor, would you like to be in the picture?
That'd be great.
Let's do it now.
Can you all stand up there?
Let's do it.
Kelly, come all up, right. Too.
Come on up, guys. It's a red letter day. Pink letter day.
It will be a phone picture.
Okay. Palm to the middle. Jack?
You're
going to have to turn on
the projector
or
stand over there.
I'm going to
do it over there, guys.
Yeah,
I can stand over there.
Yeah, there's food in the background. Yeah, there you go.
We're going to put that in the post office.
Congratulations.
Okay, Caden. Get ready, everybody. Here comes Monticello.
Where is it?
You can see it from Daggett.
I can't see it. You can't see over the tallest point in Utah to Monticello.
Mr. Chairman, we need to have a vote to accept as this meeting. 8-1, 8-2 needs to be a special vote first. I make a motion to accept 8-1 and 8-2.
Both of them in one motion?
Yes, please.
Okay, do we have a second?
Well, what second. Are we voting for? 8-1?
In order to special consideration needs to be approve it first before we can proceed.
Oh, right. Okay.
I'll second that.
Oh, to bring it to the table.
Consider.
I'll second if it isn't.
Second by Jack. Further discussion? Seeing none?
Laura
did.
Ms. Hansen did a second.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
Do we need a roll call?
Oh,
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Here we go. Monticello, Utah. It's almost in Arizona, New Mexico, and Colorado.
Colorado.
But it's still in Utah.
Did you say Idaho?
This is Caden, and he is our city manager in Monticello. He's new. He's scared to death to come before this board, but he's here. So tell us what you need, Caden.
Of course, and I'm not as scared. You guys are pretty fun so far. I can come to your meetings.
So far, that was the key.
So far. We'll find out if it's scary or sit up there. Sorry, I just dropped my chair. Anyways, I'm coming before you to ask for a little bit of funding to help us do some flood mitigations. During the month of August, we got that quite a bit of rain at one time, and we realized that some of our creeks and some of our other areas that run along some city property
is getting quite a bit. You want me to?
If you would like to. I know.
August, we get 15 inches a year. That's our annual rainfall. In August this year, we got over 5 inches.
What would Jay Golden have called it?
It caused trouble. Okay, Caden.
All righty. So we're looking for just some funding. We've got some other projects going on, so I didn't have city funding available to work on this project. But we would like to go through and just replace some of the culverts that we have in place, along with pulling some of the rocks and different things that are there for erosion control in a few of the creeks back up onto the side so that we don't end up pooling or having it flood excessively if we have an extreme winter like we had a few years ago, or if we get an extra downpour of rain like we got in the month of August. This doesn't affect, there's not very much critical infrastructure in the way that would be caused if we flooded out, except for one city building. It did partially flood, but it's a part of it is a shop, so it flooded the shop site, so we weren't concerned. But we did clear it out. We've done what we can do. We'd just like some extra funding to move forward. With this, it was a last-minute application. The mayor had done her homework. Bruce had also mentioned a few things. So I included everything I could in the application. But we did get a quote from our local contractor that has the equipment to do the work that we need. And he's quoting me right about $86,000, $87,000 just on the equipment he's going to have to mobilize for us and the labor and materials needed to do the repair work. At this time, we're not going to re-engineer anything, not recreate the box, just clean it out so that we're not going to have issues in the future.
Yes.
So if I could ask some questions.
Of course.
You know, this isn't a large amount. I realize that. I look at Marysville. Had a similar situation, and they asked for help from the surrounding communities and counties, and got an overwhelming response. Mount Pleasant, they got half their town was wiped out with flooding, and they again asked for help from the surrounding areas and stuff, and got an overwhelming response. At the same time, the governor had declared an emergency situation in a lot of these areas, and so there was money available for that. Have you looked at any other resources?
I have not. I was recommended to come here because of the time we just had. We've had the other projects going on, so I didn't worry about.
Okay, so
the nearest community is Escalante.
Okay, but I'm going to follow up with this.
But could this be base money for a thing?
I understand that this is mitigation and stuff, and we're all in this type of a situation. How does this make this an emergency?
The emergency that I see is if we have a snow pack like we did about 2-3 years ago, the area that this is affecting is where two creek beds meet, and part of that is water that we're turning away from our water treatment plant. If it builds up enough, it will flood out the area around it, including the rest of the building that we have down there, including the office area. And so that's why I deemed it an emergency, is because I fear if we don't do enough to mitigate the problems in the creek bed, that we will end up flooding that building out and then costing us more money down the road to repair that building and bring everything back up.
Are there minutes from your meeting for this?
There are not yet. Our recorder has been out of the office for the last 2 weeks, and so I will have minutes, I believe, next week when she gets back in.
So,
any more questions? I will tell you, in San Juan County, when the water starts to run, you better get out of the way. Because, I mean, it really runs, right, Chris?
Yeah. Hey, Bruce, when you got the 5 inches, did it get up as high as your deck on the back of your house?
Not quite. Yeah.
It's a lot of water.
So I think they're, more than anything, they're asking for the help to prevent further damage. Once you get a little flood damage, the next flood takes twice as much as the first one did, and then the next one takes more and more and more, and obviously they've had some damage and want to replace some culverts and replace some rock that's washed and get their creek beds ready for the spring runoff.
Yeah. Can I have one question? Thanks, Bruce. I mean, this sounds like something that we need to get done. I just don't want to see Bruce's basement get flooded either.
Thank you, Bert.
but I guess my question is this the right place? Like, because kind of like you said, Scott, I think we're setting a precedent, right? There's disasters that happen across the state. So maybe, Laura, do you know, is there any sort of state funds for these situations where cities and counties can turn to get, like, because we don't want to necessarily slow them up in their construction plans. I know it's not a lot of money. I just worry about setting kind of a precedent for other communities that when they have emergencies or disasters or whatever, that the CIB becomes the primary funding source for that. And that's what I'm trying to avoid. And so, anyway.
Yeah, I was going to suggest the same thing. The Division of Emergency Management has some disaster mitigation grants and some things that are available there. I'm kind of with Scott where I see this as an important mitigation project and preventing an emergency, but it doesn't feel like an emergency right now. And then I sort of feel like procedurally, this project and the next on our agenda both, you know, maybe should happen during the normal trimester funding cycle, where we can consider them along with all of the other projects that need to be funded. It feels like we're kind of going outside of that practice a little bit to do that here. It's an important project, and if we wait until December for our next trimester meeting, I recognize that doesn't give you time to do the project before the winter comes and then the spring runoff, and so that's a little bit of a different situation, but there are some other funds that are available for this kind of project.
And of course.
Candace, do we have a hand online?
Greg Miles has his hand up, and then I'd have a comment.
Okay.
And I have a question as well.
Greg, go ahead.
Thank you. The hand finally worked this time. Hey, a couple of questions and comments. NRCS does have money available. It's emergency watershed project money. And one of my questions is, you know, are you looking at the whole picture? Have you filed for a stream alteration permit? I think, you know, one of the things with an EWP project is you get an engineer to help you design the right fix. And I just question whether, you know, doing this little bit of work is going to get you by, or if you need an engineer to come and help you make the right decisions. It's a small match to do an EWP project that you can usually come up with a material either donated from the county or somebody close by to make up the match. So I think there are other funding streams available and probably better suited place to get the money than CIB. Thank you.
Candace.
I was just going to clarify that when you're not on the CIB application list, you have no other alternative if you want to seek funding from CIB than to come in as a special consideration. Then the board has to determine if it's an emergency or connotes a bona fide emergency.
Jack.
So that's why they didn't come in the regular channels.
Makes sense. The other question I had, is there anything else in their application missing beyond the minutes?
No.
Just the minutes?
They really tried hard to get all of the stuff in.
I'm not suggesting you were avoiding them. I just wanted to know.
Yeah, their minutes, they kept me posted. It's coming. This is when our meeting is. We'll get them done.
Okay.
Ralph?
Yeah, NRCS, FEMA, we've had history with them as well. A good place to apply, a poor place to receive anything.
Yes.
We've constantly been. On all of our flooding in the river, they initially said, oh, yeah, that fill out all everything, and then when we got denied on every one of them. So it's a tough way to get. Sometimes you get on a project, but for emergency mitigation, we've failed every time.
Jerry.
Yeah, that several years ago, I don't really remember, but I remember it well. As mayor of Escalante, we had a flooding problem, and the NRCS came in and said, you bet, you go ahead, you start doing the work. We'll get you paid. I was into it, I believe, $450,000 when they came back and said, oh, sorry, we can't help you. I came to the CIB board. Yeah, we were in Moab, and that's the only way I got the help. Because NRCS said, oh, you bet, we'll take care of it. And then when I was in and had trucks moving and everything into a lot of money, they said, oh, sorry, we can't fund you.
Yeah.
So I have a comment. I'd like to make one comment. I'll defer to your motion.
Okay, go ahead. Dana.
Meaning I'd like to make the motion, or make a comment.
He wants to make the comment.
I was going to make a motion, but I'll hold off on it.
Okay.
I need a comment.
You want to hold off? Okay. I made a motion that we go ahead and fund this.
I was hoping to make a comment and let you make the motion.
Okay, go ahead and make your comment.
Sorry.
So the comment for me is we've had varying degrees of success, it sounds like. I know Daggett has had pretty good success with NRCS. Other counties haven't. You've got a very important project that needs to get done that's acute, right at a spot that you need to do some things. My recommendation with this money is see if you can't use it as in-kind with NRCS and make more out of your project in the long term.
That's a good idea.
And it may be out of place, but being a commissioner, I'm used to being out of place. But use that money wisely as in-kind, because working at the bottom of the ditch isn't very handy if the big problem's above you. And if you're not engineering it to handle whatever, if it's not engineered, then it's just many things get done with ingenuity. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's use the money wisely and make it grow. And thank you.
Okay, we go back to your motion.
The motion is to approve $90,000 in emergency.
Is it suspend and fund?
Suspend and fund.
I'll second it.
Second.
And I want to make a comment to it if it would be accepted. That it be contingent upon receiving the minutes and whatever else Candace needs.
Good idea.
Yeah. No, I'm good with that.
Okay.
Okay, do we need a roll call on this one? Okay.
Can we have just discussion first?
Sure.
Yeah. So I just want to, have reflected in the minutes that I don't want this to establish any sort of precedent for coming to the CIB as first order for kind of flood relief, disaster mitigation. Like, this is a small amount, and it's an important project, and I don't want to make you jump through a bunch of hoops. And sounds like some of the other funding sources have a lot of red tape around them, and so I'm sensitive to that. But I also want to make sure that it's reflected that this does not set a precedent that the CIB is the primary place when you have disasters or emergencies that people come first. I think there's other funding sources that are specifically designed for that, and I don't want to be picking all of that up, both federal and state funding.
So that brings a question to mind that's important to the motion. We didn't apply for it to be in front of us. It had to be exigent. we had to accept that it was an emergency.
That's what I said.
And so from the emergency part, that would be how we're getting.
Well, I think the emergency.
And I'm not arguing with you, but there's two different emergencies. One to get on the list.
Yeah.
And then is it really exigent for this moment?
We voted on that already, didn't we?
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
That's well, and I think it is, because if they don't get it done this fall,
yeah,
and then they have spring runoff, then it's going to make a bigger disaster. So.
Okay. And if I may, I am still new to a lot of this, so I thank you for all of the information, because there's a lot of things that I don't know where to turn to for some of this funding, so I kind of go off some of the input that I received just to get the funding done. And just if this helps at all, this area has been engineered before. It just is starting to erode away and not handle the water like it used to. It used to apparently handle it great a few years ago.
But there hasn't been good maintenance?
Well, it has been maintained. I asked for some maintenance to be done.
Mother
last
Nature
fall.
Doesn't cooperate.
But yes. And we have neighbors, and some of them like to farm. And I think when they've got their fields plowed, the water doesn't like to stay put very well.
Where's Steve?
Yeah.
All right. One more comment.
Be a resource for you moving forward. If you go to gopb.utah.gov.
Write it down.
And then if you go to the very bottom of the page, you'll see a link to a Utah Funding Opportunities Portal. And that is a list, it's an inventory of every single funding opportunity offered by the state of Utah, as well as a few federal grants as well.
Can I get that website one more
time?
Yep,
gopb.utah.gov. So Governor's Office of Planning and Budget. gopb.utah.gov.
That will be most helpful.
Yeah, and at the very bottom, you'll see some like key links or key resources, and there's a Utah Funding Opportunities Portal there, which we hope is a good resource for you and any other community that's looking for funding for things.
Roll call or otherwise?
An exemption.
Okay, do we have an exemption?
Yeah, I've got Kathy for my list here. Hang on.
Emergency response?
Yeah.
Yep.
Special search. What did you say?
Emergency
response. Yeah.
Okay. Do we take a roll call or?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Slaw.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes. With there again, I feel the same. That there's other resources available and they need to be looked at first in the future.
Commissioner Lytle.
I concur and aye.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor.
Aye.
Commissioner Brown.
Aye.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Okay, now, Caden, you need to be in touch with Candace and others right away if you want.
Yes.
To get started on this.
Yes, we will. I've been talking to Candace quite a bit and Heather a little bit.
Okay. All right. I want to recognize my wife who just walked in.
Did she
Christine
walk out?
Adams.
Christine, we see you.
Yeah. She.
We're wearing our ribbons.
She's the reason we're wearing these ribbons today.
Oh, you got to go give
you
her a ribbon.
Come up and get one right here, Mom. I call her Mom. Anyway, so we'll. 10 years cancer free.
December 31st.
Way to go!
Chemo treatment. Congratulations.
Great.
All right. I dare you say ow?
Ow. Okay, Hilldale City. Special consideration for Maxwell Canyon Public Utility and Access Improvements. You want to come up and.
So do we voted on both, students?
Yes. To hear.
Yep. Mayor,
hi.
Welcome.
Thank you, and thank you for recognizing this month. My 85-year-old mother has been fighting for 7 years, and she just went into 24-hour care. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
I bet you have all heard of Hilldale. I don't know how many of you have visited Hilldale. We're kind of out of the way. Can I give you a little bit of history?
Please.
How much time do we have?
We have the rest of the day.
Okay. You made me all emotional, sir. I come from a community that was a typical polygamous community. I had two moms. I had a beautiful family. Thank you. And in the 90s, we had someone move in that I don't even like to mention his name, but we all know who he is. Warren Jeff moved in, and he pillaged and plunged our community. He ripped our families apart. He destroyed our government, our community. And then we had the great flood of 2015. They called it a 100-year flood. But unfortunately, we have a 100-year flood almost every 2 years. This is the saddest flood that had ever happened because we lost 14 lives that day. There's still a 2-year-old missing from that flood. But one thing that happened when that flood happened is we had the opportunity to come home and to rebuild our community, to rebuild it in a stabilizing way and create that sense of belonging that our community was missing so bad with the tearing apart of our families. And so we had the reset of a culture, the reset of a population, the reset of an economy, and the reset of the government. And that was 7 years ago. So honestly, in the last 7 years, it feels like I have been running, plugging holes as fast as I can, learning things that I never knew was out there, that I never knew was needed. I have met friends and created relationships that are extraordinary. One thing we do not have in Hilldale is revenue. We have no revenue in Hilldale. We had Senate President Adams come out last year to visit Hilldale for the first time. And we took him up to Maxwell Park because Maxwell Park is the hidden treasure we have in Hilldale. And he was blown away. He had no idea what was up there. I generally hear from people, "Oh, I've driven by Hilldale." Yes, you've driven by Hilldale because we've never been an inviting city. We've always had, because we were a polygamous village, stay away. Don't come in here. We were trying to protect our families. And when I became mayor, we rebranded our city from Southern Utah Deseret to Hilldale City, Welcome Home. Yep. And the reason for that was, if you were sent away and your family was destroyed, come home. Welcome home. If you never left, but you are now a part of a community that was not what it was when we grew up, welcome home. And if you have never lived in our community before and you're new, welcome home. We are a safe haven for anyone that wants to live there. And our community is very diverse now. We have new faces. Our children are coming home. When I moved home, I left Hilldale and swore I would never go back. I left in 2014. By 2017, I had gone home to help rebuild. I did not go home to become mayor. I did not see that in the forecast. But I went home to help rebuild because while I was gone, I had become a crime victim advocate. And I learned how to stand up and speak for people that couldn't speak for themselves and to be strong for them. And so when I went home and the opportunity to become mayor arose, I took that opportunity. So for 7 years, like I said before, we have been plugging holes as fast as we can. We have never come to the CIB for help because the information that I was given from the previous mayor was very little. I had my entire staff and all of my boards walk out on me within the first 3 weeks of me becoming mayor, stating that they could not work with an apostate and they could not work under a woman. Well, in that 3 to 4 weeks that they were still in office, they were shredding papers as fast as they could shred.
I had no idea what they were shredding, and to this day, we still find missing documents. I assumed that they were just shredding garbage. I had no idea that they would try to burn the place down on the way out. And so when I found the CIB list, it was very complicated. And when I talked to the city manager and we talked to some of the people at the state, they said, throw that away. You do not go to CIB for all of your troubles. So we have not approached the CIB because we haven't been ready. And we want to be good stewards over any gifts, grants, or monies that are given to us to help stabilize our community. So I talked about that 100-year flood that happens every 2 years. This flood comes down Maxwell Canyon. In Maxwell Canyon is one spring of perfect, pure water. That water is the only pure source of water for over 20,000 people. Our community is small, but we are tied to our neighboring communities, and all of them do not have good water. Our water is very heavy with radium and PFAS. We have had to buy big, heavy filters to filter that water, and then we've had to mix it with the spring water to even make the water usable in our taps. But what has to happen is we have to take our 5-gallon tanks up and fill that from that fresh spring, and that's what we cook and we drink in our homes. So every year when that flood comes through, the pipes break. It's in sand. That canyon is sand. And we've already heard many times how you cannot control the water. And no matter what we do, it seems that that sand washes out and breaks those pipes. We have some pictures that are not in your packet that I would really like you to see, because it really reflects the way those pipes are broken. And every year when those pipes break, we go, what can we afford to replace? And can we afford to replace it with a little better pipe so that when it's exposed to the sun, it doesn't break down so quickly? Last year, we replaced 100 feet of that pipe when it broke. When this pipe breaks and the community is out of water for 2 to 3 days, it creates a panic because that is the only water. So what we're coming to ask for is the funding for that utility line down that canyon and down the road and a culvert so we can stabilize that pipe. Every year we have to fix this thing, and we would really like to go and fix this like we talked about on the last one. Go to the root of the problem, the heart, and fix it there. And so this doesn't continue to break. So that is what we're asking for, is the utilities in that canyon. We are working on a broader solution for the water solution because, as I said, the water that's coming out of those wells is bad water. We have been in stage 3, and we slipped into stage 4 water all summer long. We are still in stage 3 right now. You may have seen in the news that one of our main wells broke 2 months ago. It burned up the motor. We had to replace that overnight, and that caused our tank to drop down to 20%. And we have built that back up, but we're barely maintaining 50% in that tank right now. So with the extended heat this beautiful October, we are fighting for that water. And so I heard you talk about, why is this an emergency today? And I've thought about that a lot. When I take my child to the emergency room in the middle of the night and they say, what changed that made it that you're here in the middle of the night? And what's changed for us is now we have the opportunity. I mentioned that President Adams came out and the legislature gave us some money last year to help us to create some revenue in Hilldale. But it is not anywhere near enough to fix this water problem. And if we don't fix this water problem first, we can't begin to build the other things, the amphitheater that was mentioned. We can't do that until we've stabilized this. And so we're trying to figure out how to leverage the money that was a gift to us and be good stewards over that money and to stretch it, ask for money for the utilities so that we can stretch that money and stabilize this community. I am exhausted. It's time. I have one more year as mayor. I will run again. But I want to to stabilize this community's water in the next year. That's my goal. We've been working for 7 years for it. And I feel like it's time. We're in the emergency room now. We're ready. And we're good stewards over the money. And we will do it right.
Mayor, did these most recent storms cause problems for you again?
Oh, yeah.
Every time. I joke because I'm a joker and I like to laugh instead of cry, but I joke about the 100-year flood every 100 years that we get every 2 years. And then there, I follow the farmer's almanac. I follow what we know, and we know that we've got a lot of water coming this year. We may not have as cold temperatures, but we know in the forecast we have a lot of water, which means we've got a lot of runoff of those cliffs above this. And so we know that it's coming. So yes, the answer, short answer, yes.
Questions from the board.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I would like to make a comment and then motion if it is appropriate at the time. I've known Mayor for ever since she has returned home to gather her hens and chickens. Thank you, Mayor. I personally loved your spirit, the fighting spirit that you didn't give up.
Thank you.
The world gave up on you and your community, but you didn't. You defied all the odds and came and made something out of Hilldale. And one of these days, I hope that you can get that missing L back from the name of the town. So make it Hilldale for two L's, because not too many people know how to spell it.
I know. I'm like, come to Hilldale so you can at least spell it right.
I know that the Lieutenant Governor is involved in your community. I know the Governor is involved in community, the Senators, the House of Representatives. I, as a Chairman of the UDOT, I have committed myself to make the roads are safer for your community. Highway 59, we're going to make it something that everybody will stop. Unfortunately, you are surrounded by Apple Valley on the east side, that people have a gas station to stop and say hello and then move on. Oh, there's a Hilldale. Okay. And the next side is the Colorado City from the Colorado border. They stop on the Ligia grocery store now and the gas station. Mm-hmm. You're missing on both sides of the blessings. I know what you're talking about when you say that we have been left out and forgotten. Yes, for decades. You're the stepchild of the state of Utah.
Yes.
It is time that we need to wake up and do something about that beautiful treasure part of the state. Not only the Maxwell Canyon, but the whole town.
Yeah.
People like yourself, your children, need to stay home and build the community that has been forgotten for many years.
Thank you so much. And I would like to add to that. I have asked the question very often, how do we know that Hilldale will never go back? How do we know another Warren Jeffs won't move in and take over and you won't go backwards? Private land ownership.
Yeah.
The entire community was owned by a church, and Warren Jeffs was the executor of that land. And now we all own our own land. And I would love every one of you to come out and see how things have changed, how the fences have come down, how the homes have been improved. We are able to get loans on our home now, and we're able to finish those and make them beautiful. And the entire city, it has changed, and it is continuing to change. And I would love you all to come visit Maxwell Park and be a part of that. It is incredibly beautiful, and we are very welcoming. That is the first thing we did, is kick down that door and said, please come to Hilldale. We're here, and we want to be a good bookend of the state of Utah. We don't want to be an embarrassment.
Mr. Chairman, this community truly qualifies for all the five emergency provided by the tool, all those conditions. It is just desperately need that kind of funding.
Did you want to make a motion?
I know. Mr. Chair, can I ask a couple more questions before we make a motion?
We can make a motion in a second and then have discussion if you want. I mean, if you don't want to do it that way, we can go ahead and have discussion.
I know there's too much money. I know I'm going to get the rap. I'm going to get all the snake eyes. But I'm going to make a motion if it is possible, if it's doable, if it is in your heart, accept it as requested.
And I'm going to second.
Holy mackerel.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. And now, Laura, go ahead.
Is it December? Is it December?
Oh, Christmas time.
You
brought this man to repentance.
You introduced yourself as the Grinch, and I about started to cry back there, sir. I'm beginning to feel like Christmas is on the horizon.
Go ahead, Laura.
Thanks. Hi, Mayor. It's
Hi.
Nice to see you again, Council Member. I love your story and everything you're doing for your community. It's really, really impressive and wonderful. Couple of just questions mm-hmm. for you. Are you coordinating with the AOG, the five county AOG, on this? Because we normally, I mean, I think there are some very unique circumstances about Hilldale that, you know, warrant maybe a different process and some of the things we've done before. But typically we have the communities work with the AOG. Mm-hmm. They develop a list that kind of gets prioritized. And I didn't see any sort of review from the AOG in your packet.
So we had a list last year that we were working. We have been working with the AOG, yes. Mm-hmm. They said, you're just not ready. We've got to start over. And so I don't know. We have had city managers, I have had city managers swap out like Apple Valley's had mayors swap out because they served in the military, so they were taken back into the reserve and gone. And I have a new city manager. He's 2 years in now, and he is learning the ropes of Utah because he came from Arizona. So in working with the AOG, we had a list, and they said, this isn't the way you do it, and this is the process. You've got to get in line and do the things. And so we've been working with them. And when this whole thing happened with the legislature last year and all of that, and they said, you've got to go this way to stabilize this water. This was not on that list because it's so big that we didn't think we would ever get approved, and we just weren't ready for all of it. Now we're ready for all of it because of the monies that were given to us from the legislature. So that's why we're coming at it this way.
Okay. I would say, you know, try to work with the AOG in the future because I know you're going to have more needs.
Right.
Right? You're building a whole community from scratch, essentially, and retrofitting a lot of homes, and there's a lot of big changes. And so do work with the AOG in the future and make sure you've got that. And then a couple other questions. It looks like there was some previous funding from CIB for flooding and from 2015.
The flood mitigation.
16, 17. Yeah. How were those funds spent, and did that...
Where those vans went over the edge.
Part of the problem?
Yeah. No. So none of that money went up the canyon where the water actually came from. Where those monies were spent was down where the vans went over. You've probably seen the video of the two vans that went over the edge. That created a canyon, such a deep canyon, that was flat, and then it created a canyon. So they went in there and did the riprap around that and fix that area. And then further up the road, if you've ever come into our community, you come down Utah Ave, and you head east, and then you turn and go up the canyon west. And so coming down Utah Ave, the water would come off those cliffs right there, and that washed out, and that same flood washed out 6 homes and just took that down.
To Jack's point earlier, you know, if you work at the bottom of the ditch, it doesn't necessarily...
Exactly. And so we worked at the bottom of the ditch. Yeah. So now when those floodwaters come off that slick rock, now it avoids that one house has only been wiped out once since with that flood mitigation that was put in between 15 and 17. So now we're saying, let's go up higher. Let's fix this permanently. Mm-hmm. Let's attach those pipes. We have some pictures on our phones that didn't make it to your pocket, your packet, that the pipes are actually broken in half and 5 feet apart. Yep. Not just a little break in the line. And so that's where we're headed. We're headed to the top to take care of the issue. But we do appreciate that flood mitigation that has been put in.
That's helpful. Thank you very much.
Yes, Rob.
One quick comment. Through the years, I've worked on a lot of water projects with special service districts and towns. We've had really good success with the State Office of the Drinking Water. Have you applied with those?
We're absolutely working with them and have applied with them. We are working more on the new wells, tanks, and that sort of thing. So,
because they're very helpful.
Yes. And that's the bigger fix, like the bigger water solution that we're working on. We're working with them.
Does this funding include a licensed engineer?
Yes.
Thank you.
Other questions? I'm going to tell a story if there's no questions.
I have a question.
Okay.
Minutes from your meetings?
Yes, we've had the meeting last night. The minutes will be to you within the week. Excuse me, I apologize. Next week. We're at the end of this week.
Okay. The other part is, in the notes, there was a suggested January 9th, 2025. Was that suggested from staff for when we should hear it? Or was it, what does that mean? At the bottom, review all applicants submitted by October 1st. Or is that just informational in order to, if they were to not... Is this something you need to be funded right now?
Yes.
Or is it...
We would like to get working on this before... You heard the...
Before the
runoff. We've got to do this right now before the spring runoff. We're really gasping.
And you've got contractors...
Ready to roll.
Okay.
We have Jones and DeMille that have been working on it. They have the engineers and all of that.
And then this getting this money helps with what was done with from the legislature, because they said they wouldn't give you the money for the amphitheater until you took care of these problems, the way the notes read.
Okay, so, no, they awarded us some money, and that was to go to the amphitheater to create revenue for the city. And in the overall project, that $3 million that was awarded is not going to touch what needs to be done. Like, we're looking at a $20 million project.
Right.
And so we feel like we need to work on this utilities first. I don't believe we'd be good stewards of the money if we didn't secure this first.
Okay. I know I'm holding you up from getting out of here. Get over it.
I got all day.
I'm done. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
I got a story to tell.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, let me include my suspended fund in the motion, please.
Yeah, I think I was going to ask Candace. It's already... Will be funded today, right?
Just in case.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We also need an exemption.
All five of them.
So, as all of you know, I live in a big county, the biggest county in the state of Utah. 25% of my county is suppressed from owning private property.
Oh.
And because they live on a Navajo Indian reservation. And if those people could own private property, they would become productive, just as the people of Hilldale have become. And it's just a testament to me to hear her story about getting possession of the property and beginning to prosper. And so I'll put in my political plug for the state of Utah, trying to get control of property within the boundaries of the state of Utah, because it's so important when you have control of the property, either by owning it or managing it or whatever.
That pride of ownership.
Yeah, these people are going to be successful because they own the property now.
That's right.
And I just wish we could get that point over to Congress. Chris, do you have any way of helping me out here?
My people are working on it.
You are working on it. Through a lawsuit. Okay, is there any other comment?
Exemption hardship, please. Financial hardship.
Okay, we'll take a vote.
Mr. Slaw.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles has been excused. Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes.
Okay, Mayor, you don't know how historic this is just because of who seconded the motion.
I cannot express enough gratitude. And I saw someone asked if they could get a picture with you all. Can we do that?
Yes.
Thank you so very, very much.
Thank you.
Okay, let's line up for the $3 million picture.
Forward them that picture?
No, because they won't be in it.
She won't they be weren't in it. Oh, it's about a different story. Just not to start a trend here.
Wait, can we just order it?
No, we're not.
Okay, we haven't taken a break. Do we need a break?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to take a 2.5 hour break. Be back here by 2 o'clock. No. Take care. Policy language update and approval. Chris, do you want to handle this or Candace? Okay.
At the last meeting, it was requested that there's been a lot of applicants that come back at the funding meeting and want to negotiate again. When you've done your due diligence in a review meeting, that should be sufficient. You had all of the application intel, and you talked to the applicant, and oftentimes they don't show up. So this is to clarify that when projects are placed on the prioritization list, they represent projects thoroughly discussed at the review meeting, and the terms of the funding package have been established for potential authorization at a funding meeting. It doesn't lock you in, but hopefully it can be language we refer to when an entity calls and says, we want to come in and ask for all grant. We want to renegotiate. If you give this language, staff can point to it and say the negotiation occurred at a review meeting. The funding will be finally authorized because we wait until we have sufficient revenue. The funding will be authorized at a funding meeting. It isn't a re-review of the applications. So that will be the language, and if you move to adopt that, it will be placed in the policy. It's not rule, it's not statute, but it is policy that can always be referred to so that you can avoid long funding meetings again for doing the same thing you already did.
Comment.
Sometimes it's a continuation. There is an already did, but sometimes there is a continuation of the discussion that's not a rehash completely. If somebody comes back and says we've gone over it and we can't make it work, can we re-look at it? How does that fit into this?
It did not lock you in any way.
Yeah.
It just establishes that that's not the norm. Negotiation at a funding meeting is not.
It doesn't exclude it.
It doesn't exclude. And then you have to decide if it's a bona fide reason that they've come in. Because you suggest, and it's always been the policy, that when you've authorized a funding package, they do need to return to their city, towns, counties, special service districts to see if that's doable. And if it's doable, it's not because you don't want to do it. It's because it can't be done that you should negotiate. So that it doesn't lock you in. It doesn't say shall. It just says.
But it would suggest that we would have to suspend the rules or something in order to have that conversation.
Yeah. Well, you allow staff to thwart them in the beginning. Say, if the board chooses to reconsider your funding, it has to be stated in your board package and to the board, and you can decide whether or not.
As opposed to them just making assumptions.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So
are you looking for a motion then?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Since our chair has come, I move that we adjourn.
I'm a board member.
He's a fly on the wall today.
Yeah. No, I'll move that we go ahead with these suggested
adopt
changes.
Yep. You want to move to adopt?
Second.
We have a second. Second by Laura.
I just want to say thanks Kurt to everyone for entertaining and discussing this and for staff working on some language. I feel like the more that we can clarify our procedures, it results in better decisions, I think. So thank you.
Thank you for suggesting. Thank you.
Voice vote.
Okay. Do we do a
voice vote?
Voice vote.
All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, we'll declare that unanimous. Welcome, Curtis, to our meeting. Curtis, you missed one historic thing that happened today.
You did.
There was a motion on the floor to give a $3 million grant, all grant, and Kurt
no
seconded it.
Not even in line or anything. Holy
they had to revive two board members.
Make some popcorn and watch the tape tonight.
Yeah, yeah. You should.
That extra sugar works.
You should.
Yeah,
this is a good day.
This is how I gave him this day.
Let's just put it that way.
Yes, she was.
She was very convincing.
Yeah. All right. Well,
Dennis.
Oh, yeah, Dennis. Come on up.
Can I have 1 minute?
Take two.
So, you guys are all a lot smarter than me. And this is the wording that I put on a 4x4 sign and put outside the building. Now, does any of this wording need to be changed? Is this the plaque that's going to hang in the building, too? So, is there...
Looks good to me.
I think it should be the same thing with everybody that we fund, honestly.
I agree. Yeah. But that ought to
we
be mandatory.
That standard,
I honestly believe that it should be.
Honestly, they should. The citizens, is it good for the citizen to see the tax dollars are getting used?
Yes.
For
right.
Proper
and where it comes from.
I'll second Nagy's motion there.
And having had to put up a sign from the federal government that's a part of the things that I'm not very happy to have to put up. I welcome that sign.
Yeah, I love that sign.
I think we like it, Dennis.
So, Dennis, how much are you going to charge each entity now?
To make a sign when they make it a project.
I will just tell me how many you want.
Well, it has to be in your motion. You can, in your motion, it can be the standard that
okay.
Signage is applied to the.
That's awesome.
Let me get the sample of that.
That is awesome.
So, yeah, it's great.
I'm leaving this with you.
Where you are? Stay behind us so I can take a picture.
Where's your tie?
Can I borrow yours?
Yes, right here.
I had a guy tell me the work doesn't get done.
You've been waiting to get out of that tie all morning.
Whoa. Hey. Now, wait a minute.
I'm not running. I know how old you are.
You're not going to find that technique on YouTube.
Oh, my God.
That's good.
Take it off.
You want a tiger?
Here,
just
the double,
the
double funnel cake.
That's awesome.
No, that'd be great.
Now we'll make that one as a part of motion every time. Then it should be a sign.
Or
yeah, everybody should put that up.
Yeah.
That would
think
make
people
it
realize
real
how much we fund.
Yeah.
So, I don't think
they
understand.
or even where that money comes from.
At every board meeting, that could be at the front.
If they don't put up the sign,
they don't get the money.
There's got to be consequences.
Okay.
The funding in slash the grant 50% printing of a sign. Yeah.
The verbiage is perfect.
Yeah, it looks good.
Thank you. I will say thank you because I don't think you know how much good you did today in the state of Utah. Because we wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for CIP.
Hallelujah.
I brought you a little taste of my brother's honey. I really like it on soda crackers. Some of you like it on something else. So, anyway, I counted, and I can only count 11 without taking my shoes off. So I thought I brought enough, and I hope I did. So.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dennis.
Appreciate it, Dennis.
All right. Just hang that in the room.
Yeah.
Well, I think it should be at every board meeting.
Yes. Other business. Anybody got any other business? Okay. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry. I'm always like the process troublemaker here, but I have noticed in the last trimester we did a lot of exceptions that were outside of the tool, and I feel like by definition the exception should be an exception rather than the rule. But I think they were all really good reasons for going outside of the tool, and it seemed like most of them were itty bitty tiny little communities. And I know we work so hard on the tool and building into it all the parameters that we thought reflected small communities, waiting producing communities, all of the things that were important to us. But in that last trimester, most of the things that we funded were outside of the tool. And so I don't know, and we agreed to stick with the tool for a whole year, but I wonder if there's like if it's a population size of, under, 2,000 people or under 1,000 people or something, that it's just okay that we go outside of the tool or by below a dollar amount or something. I don't know. Or maybe we need to tweak the tool, but I hate to do that again.
Don't do that.
Sorry, Paul. I don't
Paul
need to say that loud.
Paul just passed out. Somebody call 911.
Anyways, it's something that I'm like, oh, we made a mistake. If we're going outside of the tool all the time, we did something wrong.
What about an exemption, just an idea along that lines for just first class? Cities or counties? Sorry, it's been a while. I can't remember the way they rank the classes.
There's
points. It's just how weighted you make it or don't make it.
No, he's saying that if you're a small community,
if you're like
you're an exempt.
Yeah, class six city or whatever town or something.
Are you talking about the non-mineral producing counties? Is that?
Oh well, I don't know. I mean, it was just like
based on mineral production.
Oh no. I'm thinking of like. Not production classes, size of community classes.
Okay.
You know how you have counties of first class, second class?
Yes.
Okay.
Just because
so
many of the communities that are that small, they never, it always requires an exemption every time.
Not always, but I also don't want them to
lose
the momentum or the that they provide us some evidence that there's an effort to look for other funding sources, or that they're taking something on their own that they can.
You'd be taking away their incentive to try, right?
Yep.
Right.
And I worry about that.
Yeah, I do.
And I would agree with that.
I get it.
I would agree with what he just said there, Jack just said. They've got to look at other places. And, I made that comment today that they hadn't looked, and those resources were available. But, on the other hand,
there's going to be times.
Being an ex-mayor of a very small city, I know that there's no other resources available than CIB. And you guys funded our city building there many years ago. And if any of you was, like Bruce was probably on there 100 years ago.
Yeah, I'm older than your building.
Yeah.
Him and Moses saw the thing the same time.
But this board refused our application. And I went back and looked at that and done a survey of the city. That was before you had to do the survey of the income of the city. We have no businesses there.
And I went to all of the businesses around the whole county and says, would you donate this, this, and this towards that building? They agreed to it. I come back before this board again and says, these are the signed people that have said that they will donate towards this building, labor or materials. You granted us 100% grant. We've got a plaque in there in our building that because of all the donations that we turned back, something a little over $100,000 back into the fund here that we didn't need because of the generosity of the people that donated. And it really ticked some of the other communities off because their people were coming and donating to ours where they went to their own communities. But you've got to understand that this is the only place that some of these places can get funding.
That's true.
Plain and simple. Mm-hmm. And I don't... I like the tool. It is a tool. But there's situations where you have no other resources. Mm-hmm. You just can't.
Yeah, personal touch.
I agree with you completely.
Especially with the cost of the projects now. Mm-hmm. You know, you get these communities with 500-600 people, or Fayette that has 200 people. Mm-hmm. How do you pay anything back?
You can't. I know. No, you can't. I just want to point out, though, you know, we funded 10 projects today outside of the tool, and they're all really good projects, and they're really needed projects, and I think in most cases they don't have another way to pay for it. Anyway, I don't have a solution. I just raise it as a something for us to think about. I don't know.
Maybe we need to put a little more pressure on the federal government to do their part and take care of some more oil and gas leases, whatever. My wife always tells me she's not overdrawn at the bank. I'm under-deposited.
She's right. Jerry.
She's still got checks on cheese. I mean, you got money. I'm
telling you. But the federal government could really, I mean, they're the ones that shut this thing down.
I know.
We need to encourage them and tell them how important it is. When we meet with government officials, they need to know that money is going to build communities in rural America, rural Utah. So,
well, then we can't collect property taxes.
Well, yeah, we have 3%, and 87% of that 3% goes to the school district.
I think those are two separate issues, though. You know, one is how much money is coming into PCIB, period. And we need more because there's more needs. The issue that I think I'm more interested in, well, not more interested in, but the issue that I was trying to highlight was just procedural in that we have the exceptions are becoming the rule rather than the exception.
So is it really okay? So the concern is that it's mostly the smaller communities that tugs at Bruce's heartstrings, and he wants to give them all grant, right? Which is typically outside of the pool. On the other hand, you know what Scott said is, I think some of these communities have more to give than we give them credit for, especially if they rally. And I don't want to. Like, I don't think the government should be the answer to everybody's problems, and I think you build communities when you ask people to give to something that benefits the community, right? Rather than just saying, don't worry about it, we'll go to the government and get it. So I do think that even though in a lot of circumstances we're going outside the tool for these communities, I don't want it to be policy that if you're small, just come and we'll give everything to you for free. Like, I would rather them try and come up with their own solutions first, and then if they can't and it's too hard, I do think that's great that the CIB's here. We can make an exception for them. But I also don't want to take away from that process of trying to have at least some self-sufficiency when you're...
Or pride of ownership.
Yeah.
So can I jump in here?
Well said. Yeah.
As a mayor of a little city,
yeah,
let me just, my concern has been, and it has been for some time, the state back in 2008 or somewhere went in and changed how sales tax is distributed. Big time. Cut 50% of our budget in Naples City right off the bat. Because it's all based on percentage of your city to the percentage of the state. And they took 50%. So we take all these little rural communities. Our sales tax is going to the Wasatch Front to support these bigger communities because they're claiming they don't have enough resources coming in for their fire and water and police and all this other stuff. Well, with little rural communities, don't either. And now we live, it's gone changed a little bit, but they told us in 5 years we'd grow ourselves out of it. Never have. We're still losing probably around 35-40% of sales tax to the state that goes to those cities out on the Wasatch Front. I think that's something that really needs to be looked at. Why are we taking, robbing from these little communities and giving to the big cities?
Especially
and
when the smaller communities are what could balance.
I mean, honestly, that
therefore,
is...
Therefore, they may have less need to come to CIB because they'd have more resources available to take care of some of the projects on their own.
More skin in the game because we're little communities, and I see every one of these little ones. I mean, I don't know what percentage, but I'm sure they don't take as much sales tax. The state creams off that. We were at one time 50%. We had to get rid of 5 employees. We cut back. We barely survived. Because we've adjusted that, and we still never grown ourselves out of it and won't ever grow ourselves out of it. Mm-hmm. So we're contributing to these cities on the Wasatch Front instead of being able to help ourselves. Does that make sense?
Totally does, yeah. And I just want to clarify, like, I think this is good that we funded all these projects. Like, I don't have any issue with that. I just...
You think it should be part of the tool?
Well, it's procedural, and I worry that, like, you know, if we were audited again, for example, that if, you know, 80% of our actions are outside of the tool, right, that may not look good, right? That's my worry.
Is there a smoother way?
Well,
way to do it?
I have a comment to that. First of all, I think that audit tried to challenge us on being arbitrary or capricious with how we funded things.
Yeah.
I think we create a record that suggests that we are
That's not what we're doing.
So
no, it's very thoughtful.
I'm not certain that I agree with you respectfully in terms of the audit part of it.
Yeah.
The other thing is, if we're going to have the tool and or exceptions, how do we keep them? I don't think pertinent is the right word, but it's useful to us.
Yeah.
There's a better word. I can't think of it. But the lawyer should be able to come up with it. After
reflective of our actual practices.
That's right.
Right. Or be relevant is the word I guess I'm looking for. That if we're not using it or we're using exceptions to a point that then I wonder, well, then what's the relevance of the tool is what I think I hear you saying.
Yeah.
Or relevance of the exceptions. Because if everything's an exception, justifiably well discerned, maybe we have to live with that a little bit, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
As long as we can articulate and have the record to suggest that we're not being arbitrary or capricious about it.
I appreciate that. Like I said, I don't have a solution. I'm just raising it just like to make sure that we're discussing it. And if there's a better way to do it, let's have a better way to do it. And if we're okay with it, then we're okay with it. But
or give it, you brought it up, let's see how things go.
Yeah.
This was one set of meetings. But because we're meeting less often, it will become more obvious each time. So
we're in trouble. We're in trouble.
Oh, we have a special guest.
Oh, am I the trouble when trouble's happening? I step up.
The principal's
here.
The principal's in the classroom.
You know, I want to address the audit component of the tool being produced. I think that the board, if we were subject to another audit, regardless of the 10 projects being funded via exception, there is consistent change, and you've been reanalyzing the tool, and so a consistent revamping of the tool to meet the circumstances that we haven't foreseen
or every special circumstance, you're showing momentum toward that. So just because the tool in its current form does not necessarily produce the results that are fair and equitable, it's a work in progress. And quite frankly, I don't believe that it'll ever provide a solution for every single type of project. Yeah. Nor it shouldn't. But I think that showing that the board is consistently looking at it, revamping it, and making it work for situational, you know, applications, I think that there is a good rebuttal to any criticism that the board is not sticking to an exact tool which does not mirror exact circumstances.
My concern is I just don't want these small communities to have an expectation that anytime they come to CIB, no matter what, we're going to get all grant and it's going to be whatever we want. And so this is like just easy money. I know that's how it ends sometimes, but I like the fact that we have to make it an exception when that happens rather than the rule. Otherwise the messaging is going to be, hey, just go to CIB. They'll fund whatever you want. And I don't think that should be the expectation. They should have to struggle to try and come up with as much as they can, you know, and then we're here to fill in the gaps, you know. And maybe we do end up giving them all grant, but I think that should be an exception, you know. Even if we do it very often, I still think it should be an exception, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it could be, too, that because of the messages we've been sending, and I think one of the, at the end, she said we were told not to bother to come to us because it was too big a project or whatever. I think there's a winnowing process, and I'm not saying staff said that. That was her thing. But I think the staff has also been doing a great job of bringing us those projects, working through the projects as they come. I don't think they come expecting us to always give an exception to them. Yeah. But I think there's a hierarchical process occurring that we're seeing the needs as they come. I haven't seen very many wants. Yeah. And even if some people argue that some projects would be wants in their community, they've been needs in other communities. And I think our discernment process is healthy. As long as the towns know and the communities know that we have an expectation that they do their best to come to us. Because we get shocked. There's no baloney about it. They want to get the best deal they can. And sometimes we have to be the hard ass that says, wait a minute, we can't do that for you for whatever reason it is.
Scott,
it sucks.
Thank you.
You got a comment?
Oh, I just to go along with what Jack just said.
Don't go along with Jack.
Okay, not going along with Jack. But myself, and I'm just speaking for me, Scott, I'm as upset as you are with giving all these small towns 100% grant when we give very favorable conditions to some of these areas that, you know, you drive through them and you know that they can...
They have the resources.
They have the resources to pay for this, but and you know that they're here shopping for interest rates. And we give them all this money for very reasonable interest rates when this money could be used for some of these other communities that can't find these resources anywhere else. You know, so it goes both ways.
It totally does, yeah.
Well, there's, I mean, indigent's not the only factor we're considering here, right? So mineral production and energy production is a big deal, you know.
Well, I understand.
Vernal, Uinta County, they might be able to afford it from other places, but they also deserve to have a lot of the money that's coming out of their community come back to their community, right? Whether or not they're the poorest community in Utah or not. So I'm just saying that's only one of multiple factors. That's why we created the tool. That's only one of multiple factors that we need to be considering here, right?
Yeah. Question, a comment, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman. In my personal observation, the COVID did a big number on the small communities. Big communities, that they had a savings, they relied back and spent some. The small communities, they depleted everything they had. And recovery is not there yet, I promise you. I travel through the state and look at those budgets and see there's nothing to their names. So when they come before CIB, just like any faithful buyer. They would like to get the best for their community to satisfy their constituents. But what is the best bargain? For grant. And they know in deep heart that they're going to fall back, that we're going to fight them, and they can say at the end, if it is possible, we'll take the loan if they give us. But honestly, they have no savings, nothing left, the small communities. Mid-sized, big communities, they have some savings, they cry. But you cannot blame the small communities come to say, I want a grant. My personal observation.
I didn't mean to hijack the meeting.
You didn't.
That was part of the but I thought it was an interesting conversation for us to have. So.
Did the group want to agendize something for next meeting on this? Mm-hmm. Is there... kind of action.
We're going to mull it over.
I think just keep thinking about it. Yeah.
Conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. Been a good meeting today. Had excellent chairman conducting the meeting today. I appreciate all your support. We appreciate Kurt coming in the door. Yeah. We have one more motion. Who would like to make it? Okay, we have a motion to adjourn.
I'm going
to
second.
Oh, yay!
Yes.
See you in December.
December 5th.
See you in December.
Thank you. Thank you all. See you in December. You'll get a calendar invite.
Local honey's good stuff.
Mr. Blackford.
That is good stuff.
Yeah. Take one.
It's good for your allergies.
I'm taking all the good for I'm a honeyaholic. Fresh honey. Honeycomb.
We need that to buy them.